My next guest just got back from New York City, where he was a nominee for this year's Grammys. Children's musician Justin Roberts secured his third nomination this year for his hit record Lemonade. He didn't win. Lisa Loeb. I have questions on that, but he continues to be a star in the children's genre. Lemonade plus the Greatest Hits just came out featuring Robbie Fulks. This all came out last year. Roberts continues to crisscross the country with his band, the Not Ready for Naptime Players. But before he heads out to Iowa, Ohio, Pennsylvania in a breakneck February, Justin Roberts and some of his band are here in the studio tonight. Justin Roberts, welcome to The Download. Good to
see you.
Thank
you. So great to be here, Justin.
And Liam Davis and Gerald Dowd. Gerald, we just saw you. You're regular now. I can call
you're
you a regular.
Sick of me now, aren't
I'm sick
you?
Of you, yeah. But thanks for being here. It's great to see you guys. Leah, I mean, let's start with the Grammys. This is congratulations on the nomination.
Thank you. What was
it like to go to New York City for a third time? And it's the third time that you haven't won.
Yeah, exactly.
But does it get any easier?
It does actually get easier. It was really exciting, you know, to be doing this for now 20 years, and to keep getting Grammy nominations, getting recognized by your peers means a lot. And this year it was in New York City. It's usually in LA, so it was kind of the 60th awards show, and it was fun to be in a different place, and we had a great time. You know, it was a lot of amazing performances and just an incredible weekend and week.
Does the genre and the category of best children's, I would assume that there is much more competition in 2018 than there was when you started 20 years ago, just because maybe we've seen more. I just feel like I have a 10-year-old myself, but just the idea that this has become much more of an industry than it ever was before.
Yeah, I think that's true. There's just a lot more people making music for kids than I think were. I mean, people have been doing it for a long, long time. Obviously, we're in the town of Chicago, home of Ella Jenkins, you know, to speak of royalty in the children's
absolutely,
world.
Right.
But I do think more recently, not only have a lot more musicians just made it their full-time gig, but a lot of great bands have made kids' records, like They Might Be Giants, Bare Naked Ladies, and a few others that, you know, have made a kids' record or two. And so I think it's really made the genre step up in a lot of ways.
And when I think of the bands you just mentioned, Bare Naked Ladies or They Might Be Giants more specifically, I do think of your music because it's very similar and it's an indie rock style where you are not doing lullabies and you're not by any stretch pandering to the children that you're singing to. These are real issues, but they're done in a rock and roll kind of vibe.
Yep.
How important is it to make that distinction when you're talking about what kind of music you do, that it is more of a rock and roll indie rock thing as opposed to Barney or the other things that people may know is children's music of the past?
Yeah, I mean, I think the main thing is just respecting the audience. I got started doing this because I was a preschool teacher out of college, and I just, you know, I was told kids' music had to be really simple and repetitive, and I started playing them Sam Cooke songs and Irish jigs, and they love that stuff. And then I was like, oh, here's an original song that my band plays. It happens to have some animals in it, so it might kind of work for kids' music, but it's a bunch of verses with no chorus, and they memorized the whole song. There were 4-year-olds performed it for an open house, and I was like, wow, kids will take in whatever you give them and just, you know, do something that I think is good music and that I enjoy as an adult and has some connection to me, you know, as a human being, you know, not just thinking, here's what kids want to hear, but like, what's a good song? And like, how do I write something that feels emotional to me? But it's about subject matter that kids can relate to.
And that's really what it is for all the musicians in the room. Feel free to jump in. Yeah. But you really are talking about the emotional connection to an audience. It's not necessarily changing the structure of the music or possibly, like I said, pandering or playing down, like it's simple or the idea of they can being repetitive. It's really about that emotional connection to whatever audience you're playing to.
Yeah, definitely. And I think Liam Davis, who's sitting next to me, has produced all the records that we've made in the past 20 years. And I think every time we've made one of these records, we've been having a lot of fun in the studio recording the songs. And early on, it was maybe more folky, and then it got to be more like full band rock. And we would always sit there after we were done and be like, are kids going to like this? I have no idea. Like, we're just making music and like hoping that it will work. And that's been fun.
Well, and part of what you're saying about the emotional connection to the audience or to the listener comes into play there, because we're always making music that we enjoy. So we want to make, you know, we're putting our work into something that we think has value and that we want to listen to. And so the hope is that then that translates to the audience and to the listenership.
Yeah. And for all of you, I mean, you, Jared, we just had you in here for a different band last week with Rachel Drew, and you're talking about the shows that you do. I mean, do you approach the music differently when you're working for, knowing that your audience might be middle school or younger? Do you approach how you perform and how you present the music differently?
I don't think so. I mean, the music that you know, I started playing with Justin in 06, and I think his records were starting to come out of the more folkier stuff into the more whatever Liam and Justin's Phil Spector era of just everything but the kitchen sink production wise. And so no, we get out and I play as loud as I do in a rock band, you know, much to their chagrin, but I don't have to change anything I do really. And actually you can even be a little bit more, you can take it a little bit further out because kids will just go there with you. Whereas I think, adults tend to be a little bit more withdrawn and not give back as much, you know, but kids will just give it right back to you and you can just go, you can just take it as far as you can and they'll go with you. So,
you know, I have so many questions that come from my own curiosity as a parent, because I think about, I've seen you play and I've seen a lot of bands in Chicago play that might be doing children's music, just having a kid, right? Yep. I mean, you go through so many different places where it might be an outdoor festival or it might be a class that you take like in the morning and that kind of stuff. But I mean, it is amazing to me how much there has become a cottage industry to performing and producing music for kids.
Yeah. I think it's really changed. I mean, there were people, like I said, there's Ella Jenkins and there's people doing it in the 70s and 80s, and a lot of people that I learned from and talked to when I started thinking about doing this as a career. I made a record with Liam, and then I came here for graduate school at University of Chicago, not thinking I'd be a children's musician. But when I decided to be a children's musician, I started researching online, started contacting musicians that I could see had been doing this for a while and asking them questions about how they were touring. And around the same time, Dan Zanes started making records, who was from the Del Fuegos, and, you know, got in touch with him. And he was like, well, I'm playing at this, you know, thrift store in Boston. I bet they would do a kid's show with you in the basement, too, like they did for me. And I'd be like, okay, well, I'm going to go travel out there and play a show there. So it reminded me a little bit of what I read about the indie rock scene in the 80s.
I was going to say, it sounds indie rock. Like, I mean, it doesn't sound like you're necessarily finding a different path.
Yeah, like the Fugazi people and, you know, finding venues that weren't venues to play shows, and it's all ages, you know, the same way that stuff was. It's straight edge as well.
A lot of the same themes, right?
You know, it was funny because I was reading that book, This Band Could Be Your Life, that was about all that music at the time, around the same time that I was doing this stuff. And, you know, it was talking about the Del Fuegos and talking about the Replacements, like sleeping on the, you know, the floors of the friends that they were had in different bands. And it just made me think of what we were doing in kids' music at the same time.
You know, producing music before you made the transition into children's music, when you think about that performance or you know, maybe being in the band that wasn't for kids playing in the basement of the thrift store, do you approach the performances differently? I mean, as a performer?
Yeah. The first time, I mean, I obviously worked with preschoolers when I was writing the first songs, but when I made the first record, I decided I'd play some bookstores and do a minor job of promoting it before I left for school. And, you know, I had an interactive thing for maybe one of the songs, but then I was just thinking I could play the songs and the kids would just wander away from, you know, from me playing.
Right, you see that, like, many times. Right?
You really have to keep them engaged. So I just started figuring out, like, every song needs a different thing. You have to vary it. You have to really keep the audience. The audience becomes part of the performance. It's not just you playing to them. It's everyone in a room together.
I have so many questions about that because you've been there as a parent where you've seen a band on stage trying to get the attention of the kids to stay engaged for what would be a 40-minute performance. That's
exactly.
That's difficult.
Yeah.
Have you learned over the years how to make that work? Have there been instances in your career where you got to 15 minutes and you're like, they're not even paying attention?
There's definitely been shows like that. That's, but I do think, like, over the years, not only when I see stuff going on, I'm like, well, this always works. I can try this. Or, you know, sometimes you soften it up, like, so it's super quiet, and you can actually bring them back in. You know, there's just...
Sometimes not. Sometimes that doesn't work.
But if you do like let's do a big dance number where I teach them a dance, you can get a few kids to do it, then other kids start joining in. you know, yeah, there's a lot of tricks.
Yeah. So many more questions, and we're going to talk about it. We've got Justin for the hour. Justin Roberts and the Not Ready for Naptime Players in studio tonight. They're going to be taking their act on the road. They're going through February. They got a crazy schedule. You got 8 or 9 shows coming up here in February.
Yeah, a bunch of things.
I don't know. All over, not here. When are you playing in Chicago again?
We are working on setting up for something for the spring, but it's not set up yet.
Well, of course, just came off the Grammys. He was nominated for Best Children's Album and with the great record Lemonade. They're here in studio. They got their guitars. We're going to play some live music coming up here right after the break. Justin Roberts, stay with us. A little Fugazi for you guys, for Justin Roberts here. Justin Roberts and the Not Ready for Naptime Players in studio tonight. They're, of course, just coming back from the Grammys. They were nominated for Best Children's Record. Lemonade is the record. And they also have a Best of Our Greatest Hits featuring Robbie Foulkes and others. The band Justin Roberts, Liam Davis, Gerald Dowd in studio tonight. And they are ready to perform for us live on the download. Here they are with the song Must Be This Tall. Take it away, guys.
Stood in the very same line, must be this tall to ride. Double crossing my fingers, gonna straighten my spine, must be this tall to ride. This year is gonna be different. This year is gonna be fine. My heart skips, beat a little shaky inside, must be this tall to ride. Tall to ride. Tried to make my hair stand up straight with a comb. Must be this tall to ride. Measured over 47 inches at home. Must be this tall to ride. I can see that wooden man with his outstretched hand. I told my mama wasn't scared, but I kinda lied. Must be this tall to ride, to ride. Must be this tall to ride. Last year on the bumper cars we bumped, and last year in the jumping house we jumped. But when we got to the front of that sign, I was a little too short to go. My brother didn't see it, but I almost cried. Must be this tall to ride, to ride. Must be this tall to ride. When we get in that seat and the bar comes down, must be this tall to ride. There won't be no more turning around. Must be this tall to ride. And when we reach the top and the coaster starts to drop, throw up our hands screaming far and wide. Must be this tall to ride, to ride. Must be this tall to ride. Mom, I'm gonna meet you on the other side. Must be this tall to ride, to ride. Must be this tall to ride.
Yeah, there you go. Justin Roberts and the Not Ready for Naptime Players live tonight here on the download. They, of course, were just nominated for a Grammy for Best Children's Album. Lemonade, that Must Be This Tall is off Lemonade. Also the Greatest Hits, which is just out, featuring musicians like Robbie Foulkes and the band, of course, Liam Davis and Gerald Dowd with Justin tonight. Let's get another song in, right? Right before the news. I think we got enough time to do so. Here they are once again. Here's Justin Roberts and the Not Ready for Naptime Players. This one's called Lemonade. Take it away, guys.
It was the hottest day in July. We were sweaty on the porch, just my brother and I. My dad said, boys, when we were young, this is the way we lived. When the heat just stung, we'd mix the sweet with the sour, whoa. And we could just sit there for hours, whoa. With the ice and the lemon and the sugar and the shade, we were all grown up. Lemonade. Take a poster board and a marker.
Had to be the hottest day.
We'll make those big block letters darker.
Had to be the hottest day.
And then we'll tape it to the table. That sign we made, it says 25 cents. Lemonade. It was the hottest day in July.
Had to be the hottest day.
The air was thick, not a cloud in the sky.
Had to be the hottest day.
When I called out to my dog, you know, he just stayed. He was like air conditioning, and I was like lemonade. You gotta mix the sweet with the sour, whoa.
Sweet with the sour,
I'd have to sit there for hours, whoa.
Sit there for hours.
Holding the top of a coffee can, it's how we get paid, you know. We're all grown up. Lemonade. Now it won't be long until the day's gone, and we'll wonder if supper is made. We'll have to pack the whole thing up and go inside. Lemonade. Mix the sweet with the sour, whoa.
Sweet with the sour,
whoa. Might have to sit there for hours, whoa.
Sit there for hours, whoa.
People in the church walking out as they just prayed, but the one thing they're really thinking about is lemonade. Gotta mix the sweet with the sour, whoa.
Sweet with the sour,
might have
whoa.
To sit there for hours, whoa.
Sit there for hours, whoa.
Bike around the block, tell them what we made. Better get a while it lasts, cause the summer's going fast. Lemonade. It was the hottest day in July.
Had to be the hottest day.
It was the hottest day in July.
Hot, hot, hot.
I mean, with the ice and the lemon and the sugar in the shade, we were all grown up. Lemonade. 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 Lemonade.
Lemonade. Yes, there we go. Amazing, Justin Robertson, and Not Ready for Naptime Players, live tonight on the download, 720 WGN, Justin Roberts, Liam Davis, Gerald Dowd. The album Lemonade, the track, the title track right there, Lemonade, of course, up for the Grammy, that just was in the Grammys this past Sunday, did not win, third time. I think that's you know what, that's a coastal bias, Justin, that's what we call that. But yeah, amazing to have you guys here, and we got you for the hour. We'll hear some more live music with Justin Roberts and Not Ready for Naptime Players right after the news. This is The Download at 720 WGN. Stay with us. Thanks, Rob. It's Download here, 720 WGN. I am Justin Kaufman. In studio with me tonight, Justin Roberts and the Not Ready for Naptime Players. The indie rock children's musician just came off of the Grammys. He was nominated for Best Children's Album. Lemonade is the name of the album. And we just heard two tracks from it. It's just great. Thank you guys for playing. It's awesome.
Thanks.
And people loved it. And I had a question about the lyrics, and I wanted to just let Mary ask it, because Mary texted in, and she said that this could best, she was talking about the first one, Must Be This Tall. She said, this could possibly be the best song I've ever heard in my life.
First thanks, Mary.
But then she said, I was enjoying the melody, and then I focused on the lyrics, and now I'm just so much more impressed and delighted. Let's talk about that, because you'll have, I mean, obviously, when you hear those songs, they're so catchy, and there's the hook. You guys are brilliant songwriters. But it's really about what you're singing about when you're singing to kids that sets you apart. What, I mean, when you must be tall, let's just talk about that song. Obviously, we get it. It's about, you know, how tall you have to be to get on roller coasters.
Yep.
But it's not. It's really about the emotions that are putting yourself inside of a kid who might be 44 inches tall.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And what they're going through.
I think, I mean, that the idea for that song actually came from an adult friend of mine who just texted me and said, have you ever written a song about trying to ride a roller coaster, not being tall enough? But as I started writing it, I started thinking, that's an occurrence we feel as adults in so many situations where are we going to be good enough to do some new thing that we have to do,
right?
You know, and that feeling of like, I don't know if I can make it, or last time I tried this, it didn't work out. I want to try it again. And just that element. And then, you know, I was a...
Like a job interview.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, when I started thinking about it, I remembered I was... I have an older brother and a much younger sister, but for a long time I was the youngest kid in the family. And I remember that my brother being, you know, tall enough to shoot basketball hoops, or my brother getting on the roller coaster when I couldn't, and that feeling of like, oh, I really want to be able to do that too. And, you know, that memory just
And there really is that emotional response to just being too short.
Yeah.
Like when you're just a year away or even a couple months away at that age, at 8, 9 years old, that's the world.
Yeah. But anyway, when I was writing the song, the other thing that like came up was I was like, what was that song, that sign called? I remember the sign, and I didn't even think of that. And then I was like, well, how tall do you have to be to go on a roller coaster? I had to figure out these things. I'm like, I want to be 1 inch shorter than that, but I don't know what it is.
You had to go to Great America and check it all out. Well, I mean, that and Lemonade, but what I do like about your music, and it does stand apart, is there is the person that you're singing from.
Yep.
You know, there's a lot of music that'll be about kids or talking about things that are in the kids' world. But with your work and and I think this is a lot of why you've been successful, is that a lot of times you embody the kid.
Uh-huh.
How do you do that? How do you sing from a point of view of someone who might be 45 inches tall?
I don't really know. I mean, I think for one thing, those memories come back very vividly to me of certain things in my life. But I also think anybody who writes a song... You know, if you think of someone like, I don't know, Bruce Springsteen or whatever, he's writing from perspectives of people that is not his life, but he's able to imagine himself as a union worker or whatever it happens to be. So I think in some ways, you know, trying to imagine yourself as someone you're not and how those people would feel is what songwriting is about a lot of times. I mean, sometimes it's all confessional, but a lot of times it's putting a character on and trying to speak with that voice. So that's often what I'm trying to do. And oftentimes that's the, you know, the kid doing something wrong or whatever, like the id naturally going in the world. But I also write songs with the perspective of the parent, you know, and I'm always kind of trying to search. I wrote one song where it was the perspective of my dog talking in the song. So, like, you know, it's always fun to take on a new voice and just try to feel it out.
Let me bring you guys in, Liam and Gerald. I mean, what attaches you? What is the emotional connection to Justin's music? I mean, obviously you've been producing with Justin for 20 years. So he comes in with new song about the kid who's not tall enough to get on the roller coaster. What is it that gets you excited about the work that you're embarking on?
Well, I think for the most part, Justin comes in with you know, pretty much fully formed songs. I mean, we toss around maybe a bridge here or there or something like that, or maybe you should put this verse first or things like that. So for me, there's part of it is just the joy of digging in, you know, and like getting inside the song. And and it's actually, to answer your question, it's a little bit difficult for me sometimes because I do have a very strong emotional response to a lot of the work, but my job is to not. Right, my job is to make sure that the songs are getting across and they're getting over. So, we have this song called Never Getting Lost, and Justin sent me the demo, and my girlfriend and I at the time were just weeping. I was sitting in front of my laptop just weeping, and I was like, I gotta pull it together. I gotta figure out where to put this piano part.
Gerald, all my questions are about the kazoo.
Okay.
For you, it was a feat to watch you play kazoo and percussions at the same time. But I mean, how much when you're involved in the music and the production and getting a chance to play on the stage, I mean, how much is it about the connection?
Well, I'd like to know what the emotional connection people are having to the kazoo is in the listeners, in the audience. That's my driving focus. I'll just kind of piggyback on what these guys have been saying. I mean, Justin writes from such a point of honesty, and having kids myself and having heard so much children's music that is so disingenuous, you know, and so to hear stuff that treats kids like they have a brain and that they can feel and they can think and they can process loftier ideas than a lot of people give them credit for, that's been the real connection for me. I mean, and I've wept openly on stage during some of these songs, you know, because they're just they hit a part of you, either a memory that you have that is similar or a feeling that you've had, and it it's very visceral.
And I'll bring up one thing with in relation to Gerald and especially the new record, but when Liam and I talked about making Lemonade, we wanted to do something a lot more organic with musicians playing in a room. And so Liam decided to set Gerald up, you know, with Robbie Foulkes on lead guitar and John Abbey on upright bass, all in the same room. Hmm. And so Gerald put together this drum kit made of like cardboard boxes and paint cans. And tonight he's playing a single piece of paper as a snare. I don't know if anyone can hear that, but it's literally
just a piece
of paper.
He told one of the Tribune's, I was like, can I get this? What do you need that newspaper for? Are you going to read the newspaper during the interview?
I need to look at the want ads. I need a job.
He's such a versatile drummer. That's because, great. You know, yeah. He can play power pop stuff and break down the song and figure out how to make the sections of the song their own little thing.
Yeah.
But then he can also like strip it down and just play the simplest thing that's like the perfect thing for the song. And
he's the Downloads regular drummer now.
All right. Okay. I'll come do rim shots for
good,
you whenever
good.
You
Thank
need
you.
It.
Yeah.
The other thing about kids music, and it's so varied because you will have at early, almost by development, when you think about the toddlers and even before that, little babies, and even then you get into, you know, middle school and on. Obviously, those are different types of areas of listenership, meaning you're a 2-year-old and an 8-year-old are not going to respond the same way to Must Be This Tall. How do you do that? Because a lot of times you'll be in a festival that the primary focus is going to be 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds kind of picking dandelions and running around and actually enjoying the environment of the festival, but not necessarily what you're singing about.
Yeah, I mean, I think kids of different ages respond to different things, and so if you're playing something that has a really good hook, I think adults will like it as much as a 2-year-old will like to jump around to it. But as the kids are a little older and they start listening to the lyrics, I get a lot of messages from parents where they're like, my kid just asked me questions about this song, and you know, thanks a lot. I don't want to explain this to them. No, but you know, I think as they get a little older, they start listening more to the lyrics and start understanding what's going on. But I think it's the same thing. I think you don't try to dumb it down. You just try to give them everything and let them pick up what they can. And sometimes kids pick up things out of songs that I don't even intend, but they're like more beautiful than the idea that I had when I was writing the song. So
that's a great thing about music.
Yeah, exactly.
Justin, for you and Liam, this goes for both of you guys, and Gerald to an extent too, how much, when you look at Lemonade, and you think about back to 2001 or 2002 when you started this, how much have you evolved? When you think about the early stuff that you did to now, how have you evolved, and what do you think about that evolution?
It's been really fun to try to figure out how to keep it fresh over the years. But we started off recording at a studio in Wicker Park in 1997, and Liam was playing percussion on his knee, and we made the record mostly the two of us with a few extra musicians.
I hadn't learned the newspaper trick.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we had, you know, we recorded the whole record in about 24 hours or something like that. And as time went on, I started adding more musicians to the band, and then I started thinking about writing songs for a band and started writing much more power pop and, you know, writing on a computer where I would add different instrumentation and a lot of vocal parts, and then we would try to figure out how to fit it onto a recording. We made a lullaby record where we had members of the CSO playing and did a really orchestral chamber music kind of record. And the one before this was Recess, which was a giant rock record, probably the biggest sounding record we ever made. And after we finished that, I was like, okay, now I want to do something really stripped down and simple, and something that, you know, is just live and makes people feel like you're playing in their living room. And it was fun to return to that style. You know, I have a feeling the next record will be another big record, just because it would be fun to do that again. And we played with the 5-piece band at the Old Town School of Folk Music a couple weeks ago, and it was just such a blast to have everyone playing at once. And
is that, I mean, you've obviously gone at this, and this is a full-time job for you. And you think about the early days back in 1997 when you weren't sure if that was going to be the case. I mean, it's been, you know, a good 20 plus years. How do you think when you look at your career in this genre, performing to children? I mean, did you make the right decision for yourself? I mean, do you feel like this was exactly what you thought about back in the late 90s?
I should have been a car salesman. But no, I'm very happy that I did it. It took me a long time to make the decision because I made a record and I went to grad school in something completely different. And I had a lot of people around me, Liam's mother being one of them, who was a career counselor as well, saying, what are you doing? You should be making kids' music. Why are you at graduate school? And
I was also saying that.
Yeah, and you were saying that too. But, you know, once I made the decision, I just kind of never looked back. I mean, I at the time was working at a consulting firm doing IT stuff, and I left a pretty decent paying job. And I, you know, told my parents, I'm going to drive around in my car and sell CDs out of my trunk. And what do you think of that? But, you know, it ended up somehow working out so far. And, you know, you're making it up as you go along.
That's,
you never know.
I mean, that's the life of an artist. Yeah, I mean, exactly. At some point or another, you got to make that jump, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, to think about it in an area that you're not necessarily sure what the career, the idea of making money off of this is where it's at, but to follow your heart and follow your music, it's impressive.
And there were certainly, like I said, there are people making music and touring around doing children's music, but I do think around that time in the early 2000s, a lot of more people started doing it, and there's a lot of networking between the people that were, and just sort of like found a way to make it work, and it turned out to be really fun.
Yeah, well, it's working.
Yeah.
Lemonade was just nominated for a Grammy for Best Children's Album. Justin Roberts and the Not Ready for Naptime Players in studio, Gerald Dowd and Liam. Liam Young is here, or I'm sorry, Liam Davis. Liam Young, someone entirely
he's
different.
He's very young looking.
He's the young Liam Davis. How about that? Okay, so here's what we'll do. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll hear some more live music from Justin Roberts, Not Ready for Naptime Players. It's a download. Stay with us. All right, back in studio here. It's a download, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman, and Justin Roberts is in studio with the Not Ready for Naptime Players. Liam Davis and Gerald Dowd are here as well. They're ready to play some more live music. The album Lemonade was just nominated for Best Children's Album in the Grammys, and they are starting up on a tour that's going to get them pretty much every state but here. Coming up here in February, it's a breakneck speed. So yes, Justin Roberts, Liam Davis, Gerald Dowd in studio, ready to perform live the song From Scratch. Take it away, guys.
My grandma is old-fashioned. Dad says they broke the mold, whatever that means. She's got an old gas stove, it's like a treasure trove. She lights with a match, and she's making everything, and I mean everything, from scratch. She is standing by the stove, stirring. Her cat is in the kitchen, purring. Smells so good in here, I just want to close the door and hook the latch. She's making everything, and I mean everything, from scratch. She takes a little, makes a lot. Be careful, sis, it's kinda hot. Is there more inside that pot? From scratch. There's always grown-ups in this room talking. So I put my leash upon my dog and I go walking. And as that timer clicks by, maybe Dad and I will play a game of catch. 'Cause you can do anything when you're making everything. you were cooking. You made my dad look like a kid when he was looking at all those chocolate chips and icy cold milk sips. Let's hide the entire batch. You made everything, and I mean everything, from scratch. Dinner time is done, but there's food to wrap. Nearly everyone could use a nap. We can hardly move to our seats, we're glued. It's like we're attached. 'Cause you made everything and we ate everything from scratch. She takes a little, makes a lot. Be careful, sis, it's kinda hot. Is there more inside that pot? Hoping so and thinking not. She gave us much more than we thought from scratch. From scratch.
There you go. Yes. Justin Roberts and the Not Ready for Naptime Players in studio tonight on the Download 720 WGN. They just were nominated for a Grammy for the record Lemonade. They got a Greatest Hits as well that is out, featuring Robbie Foulkes as well. And they are crisscrossing the Midwest coming up here in February, and they'll have some stuff in spring in the area. Justin Roberts, Not Ready for Naptime Players. That's Liam Davis and Gerald Dowd in studio tonight. Let's get one more song from them before we wrap up this hour. And this song is called Pop Fly. Take it away, guys.
Who just put me in the outfield? Do I even need to mention? It's my job to catch the ball and, more important, pay attention. To the pitcher or the batter? Is it the former or the latter? Does it even really matter? When there are dandelions grown along the fence, and there's cotton candy clouds that look like elephants, and that squirrel up in the tree looking down at me, then back up at the sky. Bird or a plane, should I pray for some rain or hope that it's just a helicopter? Suddenly I'm seized by a horrible disease.
Someone please
call my family doctor, 'cause it's a pop 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 pop. Oh, it's nothing, feeling better. Thought it was round and made of leather. I could really use a snow cone. Oh, my baseball cover isn't blown. We're in the sixth or seventh inning. I don't know if we're even winning. If it's over or just beginning. When there are weeping willow trees outside the shady stadium, and there's giant bumblebees collecting honey for their homes, and that squirrel up in the tree looking down at me, then back up at the sky. Is it a bird or a plane? Should I pray for some rain or hope that it's just a helicopter? Suddenly I'm seized by a horrible disease.
Someone please
call my family doctor. 'Cause it's a pop 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 pop. Here in the outfield, do I even need to mention? Oh, that I caught the pop 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 pop.
There you go. What a performance. Pop Fly by Justin Roberts and the Not Ready for Naptime Players. They are heading out on the road for February. They got to Iowa, Ohio, Pennsylvania. They were just nominated for a Grammy for Best Children's Album, the album Lemonade, which can be found everywhere. They got a Greatest Hits out as well. Justin Roberts, Liam Davis, and Gerald Dowd in studio tonight. Such a pleasure, you guys. That was a tremendous performance. I can't thank you guys enough for being here and performing on The Download. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having us. It was a blast.